Yes, sir. Hold on one moment. The Honorable Mr. Louis Gowanus will conduct the hearing at this time, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ADEC number for the record?
Terrell Adam Gray. My ADEC number is 277530.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for revocation hearing regarding the community supervision. This hearing is about the three alleged violations listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a full notify of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 3rd, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Gray?
December 18th? Yes, sir.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing or pardon me, hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Absolutely. I didn't receive that paper that you're talking about.
It's called a notification of board hearing, an Arizona Board of Executive Clemency notification of board hearing.
Yes,
and it is the notification of this hearing and your rights, and you signed it, because I have a copy of it in front of me, on December 3rd, 2018.
Okay. December 8th, you said?
No, December 3rd.
Did you brought to my house? Paper you got signed?
Yes. Okay. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Again, hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. In the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Westby, and we'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Absolutely.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Gray and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Gray, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it, but the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I will begin phase one of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal measure company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about July 13, 2018, for the task TCMS lab report dated July 27, 2018. Mr. Gray, is this true or false?
Yes, sir, it's true.
Thank you. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about July 13, 2018, for the task lab report dated July 27, 2018. Mr. Gray, is this true or false?
It's true.
And the final allegation, violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer upon discharge from approved address within one business day by 10 o'clock a.m. on or about July 11, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Gray, is this true or false?
Well, I did contact my parole officer after that date. I did contact him again when I had his number in the phone that I had. And once I lost that phone that I had possession of, I didn't have a way of calling. I would have had to actually report. So as far as I did willingly not go, but it wasn't because I didn't go see him after that or nothing. I called him.
Mr. Gray, you'll have a chance to explain yourself.
Okay, sure.
For now, is this true or false?
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. And that is based on Mr. Gray's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed. and the criminal management company.
Second.
Agree. Just one second. For our paperwork. Was seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes.
Thank you. Agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, now Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Gray, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Westby is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and as I stated, you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Mr. Westby.
On May 14, 2018, Mr. Gray was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested November 13, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody November 13, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of December 12, 2019, 125 Bastan days. Current conviction, 2013, aggravated assault, 7 years. 2013, forgery, 2.5 years. 2013, burglary, 3rd degree, 2.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3-4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and alcohol noted. Other arrests, 2009, theft of vehicle, Texas County Jail. 2011, obtaining money with bogus check, Colorado, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G3B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Just one second before we continue. Okay, Mr. Gray, we're going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections. It says on March 22, 2018, you were approved to reside at Phoenix Oasis Halfway House on 1412 West Vogel. You were discharged on July 10, 2018 for leaving the property and not returning. Was this, pardon me, with you missing from community supervision for 125 days, where did you live after Phoenix Oasis Halfway House?
I was homeless.
And were you living somewhere in Phoenix?
Yeah, I was still staying in Phoenix. When I was there, I was staying like right up the street from my halfway house. I was staying like in the area where like the Metro Center Mall is. And I was supposed to go into this program called, it's like down on 16th, I believe, 206, where homeless people would go.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if I signed in there, if I would get like arrested or something. So I was like pretty much not knowing where I could and couldn't go without being just locked up. And then I just got tired of pretty much running, like being outside by myself, like absconding.
I gotta ask you, Mr. Gray, that's the hottest time of year. How did you not dehydrate, or how did you keep from?
If you go down there, it's a free homeless shelter place where they serve breakfast, lunch. I had an ID for them and everything. Like, you can get mail there. It's like a service that's in the community for homeless people.
Okay.
And I was eating there. I was drinking. Everything I needed was there. They give you snacks, little snack bag, hygiene bag. Everything that you need is there.
I'm glad you weren't dying of heat exposure, because that's a tough time of year. Did you find any work when you were...
I actually did. When I first was released, I was able to obtain two different jobs, and I didn't stop them until I was scounded. I was working at the stadium at the Diamondback Games. I was a cook. I was cooking down there through like a temp agency that I met through Department of Corrections. The community program, like when you go down there, if you go down there on other days instead of just seeing your parole officer, they actually had at the 801 location, they have a job services. They help you with food stamps. I had signed up for food stamps and all of those type of things to help me get started. And that's what I was working at, was doing Diamondback games on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
I see. But you weren't able to work once you went homeless?
Exactly.
Okay. Programming notes were that you were on the task random color code, your analysis testing system with the color of navy. Your testing history was in June 26, 2018, you failed to provide your own sample. June 28, 2018, you missed your sample, but on June 26, 2018, you provided a test that was positive for amphetamine and alcohol. July 5, 2018, you failed to provide a urine sample at task. And then July 13, 2018, you waited for missed urine sample and provided one that was positive for amphetamine and alcohol. On June 29, 2018, you were provided information to LifeWell Behavioral Health and directed to set up treatment for mental health and substance abuse, and you failed to follow directives. So I assume, Mr. Gray, you never received any treatment when you were outside of the prison system?
I never actually got any treatment, and that's what I really strongly needed, especially in my new predicament that I'm in with my family. I need to get myself right first, you know, and I've done everything that the department offers. I've done like 6-month programs, I've done year-long programs, I've done all kinds of, but it's not the same when it comes from somebody who you know is still getting high, or you know, I mean, you can't say it, but you know that they still get, it is not the same. I really want to help myself, I want to help my family, and in order to help them, I got to help myself.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, and it sounds like that you are arriving at a place in your life where you recognize you're ready for help and want to move on. So, again, you were missing from community supervision for 125 days, and I think you already stated, but for those days you were homeless in North Phoenix? Is that correct?
Yes, I was still, right up the street from where I was originally living.
And why exactly did you decide to break off contact with your parole officer?
Well, honestly, I missed, like, I was downtown. I didn't have, like, one of those monthly passes or nothing, and I was trying to explain to him, but being as though that's, in the past, I had transportation issues, so I was telling him, like, look, I'm down here right now, I'm on my way to your office, and then, like, that day, I would have been late, and they would have been closed when I got there. So he was like, okay, well, Monday called me. I called Monday, and when I called Monday, I was just like, I'm sorry for it. But it was like at that point, I was like, he's going to just send me back to prison because he hasn't heard from me, I haven't showed up, and it sounds like I'm making excuses, and I'm not making excuses. I just really don't have no transportation, and then I don't have money. I just had, like, I had no bus pass, no money. I'm just trying to get a ride across town. Like, every time I got to go see him and stuff. And he told me of places where I could go. It was just, like, everything wrong was just happening at the times where I was supposed to be somewhere else. Like, if I was supposed to be at that place, then something happened over here. Whereas, though, like, now I got to find a new halfway house to go to. So it was just like, I know as soon as I go see him, it was more being just scared to go see him, like, at that point, because I know I messed up.
What caused the Phoenix Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconding warrant?
Well, it was in the car that we were in. I guess something was wrong with the light, one of the lights on the car. So it was just a regular pullover, and run your name, you got a warrant.
Would ask if the board members have any questions for you? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So, Mr. Gray, what did you expect to happen once you got picked up? Since you didn't contact your PO?
Well, I thought they would just send me back here, like in prison. Like I have, like right now, like these are some life choices that I made before I even came. Like I got a bad rep here in prison, so I didn't want to come back here, like where I'm at right now. And that was it. I thought that's what would happen. I've never been on parole before. All I know is I've heard stories from other people before I got, you know, they're going to be there, they're going to be waiting for you as soon as you go to your parole, they're going to take you to the office and put the cuffs on you, and you're like going back, be right back here. So I never experienced it before. I never had been on parole before or anything like that. So I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I just was scared. I just knew that this was going to be the end result.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Gray, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and vote on this case? Thank you, Mr. Gray.
Yes, sir. The last thing I would like to say is pretty much that I got two twins on the way, and all I'm trying to do is get myself right to be a good father. And if you guys have something like, I don't know about the SACRAT program or something like the Salvation Army that will help me, I think that I will benefit and the community will benefit from me being helped, because all of my criminal history that I've ever had in my life has been behind drugs. It's never been because I'm a bad person or because I'm a monster or anything like that. I get under the influence and I make bad choices because it costs money to buy drugs.
Well, thank you for your honesty, Mr. Gray. I do find what you've shared with us meaningful, and it certainly gives us understanding as to your predicament. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, Mr. Gray, we will get back to you shortly with our decision.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I found Mr. Gray very pleasant to communicate with. He certainly sounds like an individual who's recognizing that he has some problems, especially with drugs. And I agree that he would be greatly served by treatment. The issue is that he absconded from supervision for 125 days, in which we could not account for his activity on the street. He ended up homeless. He broke off contact with his parole officer. And it sounds like that he may have had some ongoing issues with drugs, which I don't tend to be very personally judgmental on, considering the problems that we're confronted with in the community, but the fact remains that I just don't find him a suitable candidate for community supervision based on the way things unfolded during his time on the street. But I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018, W2178, our discussion with Mr. Gray, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Gray was delinquent, violating terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal management company. It was much that he relapsed into drug use and absconded for 125 days, in which we could not monitor his activity on the streets. And that is my motion.
Second.
Okay.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, as we informed by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Gray, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on December 12, 2019. I recognize that's a full year away. This certainly isn't going to maybe bring any comfort to you, but I'm glad to say it's only 1 year and not many years. I recognize that you're ready for treatment and rehabilitation, so we encourage you to pursue any programming that's available to you in this interim, and to put together a plan for your return to the community. We certainly hope to see you return productive. It sounds like that you did work for a while, and I hope very much that you don't return to a homeless lifestyle. You sound like an individual, an intelligent individual, with the capacity to be productive and put the drug addiction behind you. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Gray, if you could, please give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too.